That means it's not safe outside, where Mom and Theo are.
Despite his headband, sweat trickled into Theo's eyes, stinging, forcing him to blink. But through the glass steel of his helmet, he looked with some pride at the finished antenna set that he and the two men from Vogeltoad had painted along Syracuse's curving hull. He hung at the end of a safety tether, Nico and Kirk on either side of him. Battered old Syracuse swung slowly through the dark emptiness. Vogeltoad still attached like some mechanical parasite. The steadfast stars looked down on Theo, unblinking, solemn, terribly far away. "Try transmitting now, Mom," he said into his helmet microphone. In his earphones he heard his mother's calm, steady voice. "This is Syracuse, testing its communication system. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3." Turning to Kirk, hovering in his nanosuit alongside him, Theo switched to the suit-to-suit frequency and asked, "Did it work?" Kirk grinned and made a circle with his thumb and forefinger. "They heard her on Vogeltoad, loud and clear." Switching back to the ship's frequency, Theo said, "Sweep through the comm channels, Mom. See what you can pick up." For several moments, he heard no reply. Then, "Thee, I'm getting Ceres, and video from Selene, and Earth. It works, Thee, it works." Theo thought he should feel wonderful, ecstatic, triumphant. Instead, he merely felt tired. "Turn on the tracking beacon," he said. "And the telemetry transmitter." "Yes," Pauline replied. "Green lights. They're working. At last they're working." "Good," he said, feeling flat and somehow disappointed. "We'll come in now."
"You did it, Thee," said his mother, her voice trembling slightly. "You did it."
"I had help," he replied, eyeing Kirk and Nico, who were drifting closer to him. He clicked back to the suit-to-suit frequency. "Okay. We can go back inside now." Nico was close enough to see his toothy grin and crooked scar. Kirk had slid around behind him. "We're going in, kid," Kirk said. "You're not."
Aboard Pleiades, Victor cursed long and loud as he desperately tried to pick up the ion trail from the exhaust of Hunter's fusion drive. "I must have misjudged their distance," he said to himself between bouts of swearing. "Maybe you got the mother-humping vector wrong," he muttered to himself. He set up the communications keyboard and checked the transmission he'd heard. "No, the vector's correct," he saw. "They must have been farther away than I estimated." The comm screen's yellow message light was blinking. Automatically, Victor tapped the keypad to play it back. "This is Syracuse, testing its communication system. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3... Pauline's voice. Suddenly, Victor's hands were shaking so badly he could hardly manage to work the keyboard. "They fixed the antennas," he thought. "Theo did it. Or Pauline. They're alive. She's alive." Sure enough, the strong, steady signal of a tracking beacon came through on its normal channel. With tears in his eyes, Victor read off the name and registration that appeared on his comm screen. Syracuse.
Ore ship Syracuse, outside. Even though he half expected it, it happened so fast that Theo didn't know what to do, at first. Without a word of warning, Nico suddenly wrapped him in a bear hug, pinning Theo's arms to his sides. Behind him, he felt Kirk click open his tether and then start banging and yanking on his life support backpack. He didn't have to ask what they were doing. "They're going to kill me," he knew. "And then they'll go back into the ship and rape Mom and Angie." Theo struggled, but Nico was surprisingly strong and held his arms pinned. The scavenger was grimacing with the effort, though, his inflated helmet pressing against Theo's glass-steel bubble. Theo was bigger than he and flooded with adrenaline. The two of them grunted and strained. Theo could see sweat breaking out on Nico's face, see his lips pulling back over his mottled teeth in an angry snarl.
"Come on," Nico grunted to Kirk. "What you doing back there?"
"Got his radio, but the goddamn air hoses are inside the pack," Kirk growled. "I gotta pull off the whole fucking tank."
"Punch a hole in it," Nico shouted.
"Yeah, yeah." Theo felt Kirk hammering on his air tank. "They'll kill me," roared a voice in his head. "They'll kill me." The three of them were floating weightlessly away from the ship, twisting and spinning as they struggled. Theo rammed a knee into Nico's groin and heard a satisfying screech of pain. He pulled his arms free and punched Nico in the face as hard as he could. His gloved fist bounced off the inflated helmet, but Nico sailed backward away from him as Theo recoiled in the other direction with Kirk still hanging on his back. "My suit's like armor," Theo thought gratefully. Kirk was swearing at the top of his lungs, still banging away at the air tank behind him. Theo tried to twist around and get Kirk off his back, but the scavenger had locked his legs around Theo's middle. Fumbling for the kit buckled to his waist, Theo pulled out the first tool his fingers clutched, a smallish wrench. With all his might, he pounded it against Kirk's knee. "Son of a bitch!" Kirk yowled. Theo realized that the nanosuits were too soft to offer much protection against such blows. Kirk unwrapped his legs from Theo. "You shit-faced little bastard, I've got you now, asshole." Theo felt something click in his backpack, and suddenly he was whooshing away from the two other men, jetting madly away from Syracuse, spinning wildly out into dead empty space. He saw the ship whirling insanely with the figures of the two nanosuited scavengers hovering near it. "I'm going to fuck your mother," Kirk's voice taunted in his helmet earphones, "and then your sister." "Me too," Nico added gleefully. Theo knew he was going to die. The oxygen was spurting out of his life support tank, and Kirk had disabled his radio. But all he could think was, "I failed. I failed to protect Mom and Angie. I failed them. I failed them."
Falker was at Syracuse's airlock, waiting for them with his fists on his hips and a disgusted sneer on his face. "You two sure blew that one," he grumbled as Kirk and Nico began to peel off their nanosuits. "We got rid of the kid, didn't we?" Kirk snapped. "One kid, and he damn near beat you, and you shut off your stupid mouths good and loud. Now the mother's locked herself into the command pod, and the daughter's hiding somewhere." Nico shrugged elaborately.
"We'll find them. The ship ain't that big."
"What you're going to do," Volker said, with steel in his voice, "is get back to Vogeltot and help the crew when the hunter gets here."
"And what are you gonna do?" Kirk asked, his voice heavy with suspicion.
"I'm gonna try to sweet-talk some mother into coming out of the pod."
"You could blast her out."
Volker shook his head.
"Two numbskulls. We want this ship as intact as possible when we sell her at Ceres. Don't you think the Rock Rats inspectors might wonder why the control pod hatch has been blasted open, and where the ship's original owners might be?"
"Yeah, well..."
"I keep telling you, dimbulbs, you catch more flies with sugar than with vinegar."
Nico made an obscene gesture.
"She knows you killed her son. You made that clear enough for anybody this side of Ceres to figure it out. Now I've got to sugar that woman until she unlocks the pod hatch."
"Come on," Kirk growled to Nico. "Let's go find the daughter."
"Get back to our ship," Volker insisted, "and get ready to take Hunter. The girl will still be here after we've taken it." Nico nodded reluctantly.
"Okay. You're the skipper."
Kirk grinned nastily and said to Volker,
"Well, after you've sweet-talked the mother out of the pod," he snickered, "save some for us."
Book 4, Atonement and Redemption. For this alone on death I wreak the wrath that garners in my heart. He put our lives so far apart we cannot hear each other speak. I wage not any feud with death. Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Smelter Ship Hunter, Bridge. "There's something strange here," Elveda called as she sat in Hunter's command chair, eyes riveted on the main screen. Dorn replied over the intercom.
"Strange? In what way?"
"I'm getting a radar image of Syracuse," she replied. "It's rather fuzzy at this